Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
As Barry mentioned, years ago we were missionaries, and one of the places we were missionaries was in Sri Lanka. And the Four Square Church there was started by a man by the name of Leslie Kegel. And while we were there, his wife told us a story about their oldest daughter. You see, Leslie got very sick, and the wife, Belen, decided that, well, we need to pray for him, and so went and got Blessie and brought her to the father and said, Blessie, you need to pray for Dada, and we're going to lay hands on Dada, and I want you to pray for Dada. And she was only about 3 years old at this time, just a little girl, and so Blessie, she goes alongside her mom, and she puts her hands on Dada as he's laying in the bed and really not doing well, and okay, Blessie, now you pray. And so she closed her eyes tightly and she said, Jesus, thank you for this food. Amen. And you know what? Leslie got healed. Isn't that amazing how God, you don't have to say all the right words or do all the right things, just the simple faith of a child sometimes. And the reason I tell that story, I want to talk a little bit about the whole topic of pausing and giving thanks. You know, we do that because, first of all, God is worthy of it. You know, he's worthy of all of our thanks. But there's some other reasons that I want to point out today, too, why it's really good to pause and give thanks. We are in a season of Thanksgiving. We've had Canadian Thanksgiving. Pastor's Appreciation is during the month of October, usually. We're heading up into American Thanksgiving. One of our families, our daughter's families, is down in the U.S., so that's on our radar, too. It's a season of Thanksgiving. But you know, too, you look into the Bible, in the book of Romans, there's kind of a distinguishing between, in chapter 1, between the people who reject God and the people who accept God. And the people who reject God are those who refuse thanks to him. And so what characterizes, one of the main characteristics of God's people, is that they are people who give thanks to God. He is worthy. But there's also a lot of benefits for us. Not only do we thank him because he's worthy, but there's good things that happen within us as we also pause to give thanks. So one of the times that we really need to pay attention and pause and give thanks is when something really good happens to us. Now, back in Jesus' day, I'm going to talk a little bit of an incident in his life, but there were lepers in those days. And to be diagnosed with leprosy was a terrible diagnosis. It was like a sentence of death. This disease that would kill the nerves and fingers and feet and extremities. People would bang their, you know, burn their hands on a stove or bang their feet against things and get these wounds that would become infected and festered. And over time, their health would just decline and decline and decline. And eventually they would pass away. It was like physically, it was a terrible thing to have. Physically, it was incurable. Socially, it was like social death to be diagnosed with leprosy. You had to be separated from everybody. If you walked where there was other people around, you had to yell out, unclean, unclean, and everybody would avoid you. It was like a sentence of rejection on you, that you did no longer would belong in society, could no longer connect with people as other people would do. Economically, a leper couldn't work. It wasn't work that they could do, and so they would beg. And some of them weren't very good at begging, and so they would starve. I mean, economically, it was terrible. It was to be a leper was a terrible thing. Spiritually, they weren't allowed to participate in the worship of the day. They couldn't come into the temple with everybody else and participate in what worship was going on. If it was today, they wouldn't be allowed to come to church. You know, you got to stay away. You can't come and be part of those things. So spiritually, it was a hard thing as well. And so in the midst of this, there was, in the day that Jesus lived, there's this incident that's recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 17. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, as they're meant to do, right? Separation from people. And they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, Now, I just want to stop there for a second. I mean, they called out to Jesus, know their relationship or their faith in Jesus. I'm kind of thinking they've tried everything else. And they're thinking, you know, we heard that this Jesus maybe heals people and we've heard some stories. What's it going to hurt? Let's go try to find, put ourselves in a place where Jesus might pass by. We'll call out, maybe he'll do something for us too. It just seemed like at least it's worth a try, right? And so Jesus said something that must have seemed strange to them. He said, go and show yourself to the priests. You felt like you didn't have leprosy after you got that diagnosis. You would go to the priests and the priests would check you over to see whether you were clean or whether you were not clean. And as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine what an astounding miracle that would have been for someone who was suffering with leprosy in that day? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So the amazing thing in this story is the healing. I mean, what a tremendous miracle. But the shocking thing in the story is that only one leper returned to give thanks. And even Jesus pointed out that fact. Has only one came back? As I was meditating on this passage, I thought, I kind of get it. You know, can you imagine what it would be like to get healed? And, I mean, you would be so excited that now all of those things you could never do, all of those people you could never be around, all of the, you know, now you could go to the cafe and have lunch with people and be around other people. Now you could hold hands with someone walking down the street. You could give your mother a hug. You could participate in worship. You could show up at the worship service. All of the things that you could never do, now you can do. You'd be so distracted by the good thing that you wouldn't even notice or maybe even think about what you should have done. I don't know if anybody here has ever watched that show Alone, where they drop people off in the wilderness and they're by themselves and they've got to not only survive physically, figuring out some form of... We're going to do something with the microphone, apparently, because it keeps cutting out. Just try this one. Perfect. Sorry about that. So, back to Alone. So they're dropped off in the wilderness. They've got to figure out how to survive, shelter, food, all of those kinds of things, protecting themselves from wild animals. But they've also got to survive kind of mentally and emotionally because they're by themselves. And people thought that they'd be okay being alone, suddenly discover that being socially isolated is really hard. And you can almost notice a breakdown in some of them where they're like, oh, and they start to make excuses inside their head why it would be a good idea to go home, and some of them pack it in, and some of them can't make it because they don't have food. And you get down to the last person, and often what they do is they'll bring their family or family member, and they'll sneak up on them. And so they're having some kind of health check. It's kind of under the guise of a health check. And the family member sneaks up behind them, and then they'll say, "Honey," and turn around. And it's like you can just see, like, they're just overwhelmed, and they, you know, everything else kind of falls away, and they go and they just embrace, and they're so excited about what's going on. And you can imagine, in the midst of excitement of a great thing happening, that you could forget about going and giving thanks. Like, I was thinking, I wonder what I would do. Well, as I pondered on the passage, I also wondered, you know, there's 9 of the 10 didn't come back and give thanks. I wonder if 9 times out of 10, people don't go back and give thanks to Jesus. Is there some kind of a inbuilt perspective or statistic in that passage? I don't know, but it just made me think all the more important to go back and give thanks to Jesus. In 1990, some thieves broke into an art gallery. Now, they knew that there was value in there. They figured out a strategy, a plan to get past all of the alarms and everything. They realized there was valuable things within this art gallery. But they couldn't have been fully schooled in art, because here's what they did. They broke into this art gallery. They stole many valuable, important pieces. But there was one piece in that art gallery that was worth more than all of them. And they left it behind. Can you imagine? Like, they got a lot of good stuff, but they didn't get the best. And when we forget to go back and say thank you to Jesus, we might get the good stuff. Like the 9 lepers that were healed, they got healed. That's good stuff. But they missed out on the best thing. And the best thing was a relationship with Jesus. The most precious thing in the whole midst of what was going on was to be able to connect with the living God, to connect with Jesus. And the one who returned, he went to Jesus and Jesus spoke to him and said to him, "Your faith has made you well." So I don't like to go a lot into original languages, but in this one, it's important to point out that when Jesus said, "made you well," it's a Greek term, sozo, which means to be saved and healed and delivered. It's more than just you're physically healed. There's something that your relationship with God, there's something inside of you that has changed. You now have relationship with God. Eternity has been planted in your heart. This is what this person that came back got. He got Jesus. Everybody else got healing, but he got healing and Jesus. And so when something really good happens in your life, when you remember to go back and to say thank you to God, you build relationship with him and you get the most precious, the best thing, along with the good thing that you got as well. So it's really great to pause and give thanks when something good happens. It's also good to pause and give thanks when something really bad happens. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it reads, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." When it emphasizes all circumstances, why do you think it's all circumstances? Well, the good stuff, it's easy to think, oh yeah, you should give thanks in those circumstances. But it's saying, in all circumstances, this would cover both the bad or the good and the bad type of circumstances. Now, I need to clarify something. It doesn't mean that you give thanks to God for every bad circumstance, but in every circumstance. There are some understandings of God that make us want to believe that God causes everything that goes on. But the truth is that he has given us freedom. And that freedom gives us the freedom both to do good and to do bad, to respond to him and to reject him. And he responds to us on that part. And part of this is the way that he's opening up the door to eternity for those who want to spend eternity with him. He gives them a choice in what they do. But if people have the freedom to love, they also have the freedom to hate. If they have the freedom to bless, they also have the freedom to hurt. And so some hurt and some bad, some hatred happens just because there is freedom in the world. And yet God still superintends the general course of history. He's still specially involved in the lives of his people. But when we give thanks to him, it's not because he is the author of evil. He's not the author of the evil things that come. But in the midst of those, we can give thanks to him. So back to that verse. We're deliberately meant to give thanks even when something really bad happens. So why would God want us to do that? Well, recently I was talking to a pastor in one of our provinces, and they've got a lawsuit against their church. And, I mean, he's so downheartened, and he said, the amazing thing about this, it's like it occupies 50% of my thoughts, and 50% of my energy goes because this thing is going on. It's like it's so draining, it's so, you know, fixating. And it is really easy to become fixated on the really bad thing, and we can lose perspective. Like recently, our friend's daughter was in a car accident. Her first new car. And she really loved this car. She was really happy. And on her way to work, she had changed lanes legally, and someone else was trying to do something illegal and hit the back of her car fairly hard, created a lot of damage in the car. And, you know, it's like her new car, you know, it was so special to her, got badly damaged. And you can think, that could ruin your whole week, your whole month, you know, because your car, your special car, your precious car got damaged. It's easy to become fixated on that, but to forget that there's so many other good things that are going on in life, or even in that situation, in that bad situation, she wasn't injured. Another good thing that happened in that accident is that she was hit by a Tesla. And I'll tell you why that was a good thing, because Teslas have cameras all around, and that those cameras recorded the accident, and so the person who hit her couldn't claim that it wasn't their fault. So there's all kinds of good things that happened in that situation as well. But to make it even sweeter, God can use the bad stuff in our lives for good. You know that all things can work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. About 2 years ago, I had to go in for a scan. They were concerned about something in my liver, and kind of the good thing when they did this ultrasound was my liver was fine. But they thought they saw something in my pancreas. And so I was sent in for an MRI to check out what looked to be like a substantial size cyst in my pancreas. And for any of you that know about medical stuff, having something in your pancreas is not a good thing. Now, the timing of this, it was just before the Christmas break. So I went in for this MRI. They put you in this magnetic tube and take all of these images and everything. But then it was Christmas break, and so you don't get results right away. So I was left to wonder and ponder what the outcome of this MRI was going to be. And during that time, like I was thinking, if what turns out to be in my pancreas is cancer, it probably means that I don't have a long time left on this earth. But what happened in that was, it was like this bad news thing suddenly started to make me think about eternal values. And if I only had, you know, another year left or whatever, how would I live my life? How would I do things different? And it also made me start to give thanks to God for the things that I did have in my life and all the good things that he'd done in my life. It was like, in the midst of what seemed like a bad situation, there was good things that were coming out of this bad situation. And when we got to the end of the Christmas break, finally got the results, it turned out it was non-cancerous. Isn't that a great thing? And I've got a renewed gratitude for my health. I'm getting older. I'm almost 65, but I ride bike for exercise. And even this year, it hasn't been a great year for riding, but I've ridden over 1,100 kilometers, and I even set some personal bests, you know, which for you might not mean a lot, but as you get older, it's like, yeah, I can still do some of this stuff, and you know, this hill that I got to climb, can I make it to the top? I did it, you know, and those kind of things are just exciting. I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the health that I've got. In the midst of a bad situation, there's so many things that I get to be thankful for and thank Jesus for. Pausing to give thanks helps me to keep perspective and not obsess on the bad thing. So maybe something really bad's happened in your life lately. A relationship turned sour, or maybe you didn't get the thing that you were after. Maybe it was a job or something else. Maybe a health concern's popped up. Pausing to give thanks can bring perspective back. It's not all bad. There's a lot of good things that God's doing in your life right now as well. Well, it's also important to pause and give thanks when you face something really challenging. So the next verse comes from the life of Jesus. Jesus was on a ministry trip when he got word that his friend Lazarus was very ill, deathly ill. And to everyone's surprise, Jesus didn't pack up and head straight to Lazarus's house, because he was a few days' journey away. But instead, he stayed a couple days longer, finished what he was doing, and then started to head toward Lazarus's house. And on the way to the house, he was met outside the village, and he was told that Lazarus has died. Your friend has passed away. Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha, came out to meet him, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" At this point, where it's even recorded that Jesus wept. It's kind of an amazing thing that Jesus wept. And as they took Jesus to the tomb, it says that he was moved greatly. And then he told them to roll away the stone. And they were like, well, it's been 4 days. There's going to be a bad smell. But Jesus began to pray. And here's how he prayed in John chapter 11. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So there's a couple things I want you to notice in this prayer. He says, I thank you that you've heard me and that you always hear me. It's kind of referring to the Father always answers his prayers. He's referring to answered prayers. But he also says that he's saying this for the benefit of the people that are there standing and listening to him. Both that they will know that Jesus has been sent by God, but also as an example of praying in the midst of a challenging circumstance. I believe that's part of what he was doing here, is he was praying as an example. So Jesus both thanked God for who he was and gave him thanks to past answers to prayer. He prayed with thanksgiving. And in Philippians 4, we're told to pray with thanksgiving. So why is this? Why could this be important to pray with thanksgiving, to stop and pause and give thanks when you're facing something really challenging in your life? Well, in the Bible, people often flagged in their faith when they forgot to give thanks, when they forgot the things that God had done for them. And what happens, well, let me tell you a little story. I was, when we were in New Zealand, which is one of the places we lived, one day I gave this lady and her son a ride home after church, and it turns out that she'd locked her key inside the house. We get to the house, and she's like, I don't have my key, and oh, I remember where it is, it's inside the house, and I don't have another key, how are we going to get in the house? So I thought, well, let's go walk around the house and see if there's, you know, some way to get in. It's a good way to, figure out how burglars might get into your house, too. Be a burglar, try to break into your own home. But anyway, we walked around, and it turned out there was this one window. It was a little bit higher up, but it was ajar. And so what we did is I boosted her son up, and he was kind of climbed up, and he was trying to get inside the window. Couldn't quite make it. But coming from underneath him and giving a bit of a boost, he was able to flop over inside the window, went and got the key, opened up the door, and problem solved. When we give thanks along with praying, it's like getting a little boost to our faith. It's like we can't quite make it, maybe. Maybe we feel we aren't up to the challenge. But giving thanks gives us that boost that reminds us of things that God has done in the past. Reminds us of answered prayers, reminds us of who God is, reminds us of all of those things that just, again, give a boost to our faith and give us perspective on the situation. So maybe you're asking God for something, but your faith doesn't seem up to the task. Or maybe you're facing something challenging and you don't know if you have what it takes. Pausing to give thanks may give your faith the boost that it needs in that challenging situation. So fourth and last, pausing to give thanks is important when you reach a memorable milestone. Close to 600 years before Christ, the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and its temple and took many of the people into exile into Babylon. And so the people, they grieve for the loss of Jerusalem and Israel. And, there's a psalm, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down and wept. And Boney M. kind of made that into a very memorable tune that, for those of us who are older, remember that band. You know, we sat down and wept. As they remembered Zion, the place that was the land that God had given to the people of Israel. But about 50 years later, some of these people were able to return and begin to rebuild in Jerusalem. And it was an especially exciting time because there were some hope and promises prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah about what God was doing and about what God would do during this period of time as the people returned to Zion, returned to Jerusalem. And so a wave of Israelites born in captivity returned back to Jerusalem. And as they settled, they first began to rebuild the altar. That was the center of their worship, and so that they could begin worship again. And then they started to rebuild the temple. which of course begins with laying the foundation of the temple. And when they finally got the foundation of the temple rebuilt and they were ready to move on from that point, they realized that they had come to a significant, a memorable milestone in their journey. And so in Ezra chapter 3, we read what happened then. It says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. The job wasn't finished, but they'd reached a memorable milestone. It said that Aldous Huxley had a picture of a turtle on a fence post in his office. Can you imagine people walking in and seeing a picture of a turtle on a fence post and thinking, I wonder what that's about? And that was the whole point. It was like a talking piece. It was a, you know, something to make people think. And so people would say, well, why do you have a picture of a turtle sitting on a fence post in your office? And he said, it's to remind me that the turtle didn't get there by itself. And part of pausing to give thanks in memorable circumstances, at these memorable milestones, is to remember that you didn't get there by yourself. It's through God's strength and help that you got to that place. And not only was it with God's strength and help that you got to that milestone, but it's God's strength and help that's going to enable you to complete for them the temple, but for us, whatever God's doing in our life or our church or our ministry, whatever got us this far is the same thing that's going to get us into the future. So stopping and giving thanks to God reminds us that we're like that turtle that didn't get on the top of the fence post by itself. Only with the help of God did it get there. So maybe you've got some memorable milestone in your life, or in the church, I think there's been some memorable milestones. Pausing and giving thanks reminds us how you got here and how you're going to move on from here. So can you stand with me? I'd just like to pray with you for a minute. And I think it's a good time just to pause and give thanks. So maybe you've had something really good happen in your life. Do you know what the source of every good and perfect gift is? It's the Father of lights. It's God the Father. So pause and give thanks. Or maybe something bad has happened in your life, and it just feels like that's all you can think about is this bad thing that happened. Pause and give thanks and remember the good things also that God's done for you, the good things that are in your life. Or maybe you're facing a challenging situation and your faith just needs that kind of a boost to get over the edge. Remember the things that God has done for you in the past, how he's been faithful to you, and give him thanks for those things, and he'll increase your faith for the present challenge. Or maybe you do feel like you've reached a significant milestone in your life or your ministry, and just remember how you got there and thank God for that, for bringing you to that place, and also just putting your trust in him for the way ahead.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.